from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Was that good?
That was great. That was great. What a start. What a start.
You just pulled a Kyle Shanahan in the fourth quarter / overtime of the Super Bowl, slamming an iPad.
We got 5 pair of headphones in here, and none of them work. Which is why I keep mine in Lundman's locker. None of them work. How do people break so many damn headphones? It's embarrassing. Oh, baby. All right, let's get into it, man. I know the Giants won yesterday, and Tyler Fitzgerald, we got great numbers on him, and that's all fine and dandy.
Bonta, I've never seen a player hit the ball like that.
It's great.
You're in the Bonds category on about 4 or 5 different types of charts. I don't know what.
Right.
He became Babe Ruth.
He became Babe Ruth. It's unbelievable. Totally unbelievable what he's doing. Here, real quick, before we pivot, like the podcast.
We're going to pivot
like the podcast. Last 17 games, batting .359, 11 home runs, 18 RBIs, 17 runs, .423 OBP, 15 extra base hits. Yeah, he's on fire. He's rolling right now.
Wow.
But you know what else is on fire? Huh. The 49ers right now. That's where we're starting, and that's where we're going to probably end. Look, congrats to the Giants. They got back to .500. Awesome.
Logan Webb
got a win. Camilo Duvall looked good. Great. Awesome.
Don't forget Taylor Rogers striking out 2 lefties in a row.
Great.
I think it was the most high leverage situation he's been in all year. Runners on 2nd and 3rd.
No outs.
Wood coming to the plate.
Awesome.
I know.
Awesome.
I'm just twisting the knife.
Why are you twisting?
The Giants. It just feels so irrelevant compared to the IU situation.
Well, that's where we're going right now. Brandon IU. Rumor galore. And last night, Matt Maiocco. I see already David Hernandez. IU could kick rocks. It is so funny how fans flip on a player. It's all good, though. We're going to get into it. Matt Maiocco yesterday broke some news, and we heard the rumors, and everybody was trying to break news. Oh, breaking news. IU to the Steelers. And nothing happened yet. Nothing had happened yet. However, when Matt Maiocco tweets out, and he had to tweet Sunday night, and then last night, basically, the Niners are willing to listen to trade offers for Brandon Ayuk, and have given a star wide receiver permission to negotiate a contract with other teams. However, when we talk about leverage and this and that and who has the leverage, well, Ayuk's not going to Boston. They want guarantees that he's going to re-sign with them and sign a long-term deal. He's not going to do that with New England. He refused to do that at the NFL draft, and he's not going to do it now. Now, Cleveland is very intriguing, but is Cleveland really willing to give up Amari Cooper? Are they really willing to give up Amari Cooper? So we're going to get into how we got here, and why I think this has been bad business. But, you know, both parties are guilty. But I think the Niners overplayed their hands. They had a guy who was willing to sign a contract shortly after the Super Bowl, wanted to get it done. They balked. They waited. They balked. They waited. It didn't get through the NFL trade deadline, and you don't move them. And now here we are in the midst of training camp, getting ready for a preseason game against Tennessee Saturday night in Nashville. And now we're talking about trading the ex-wide receiver on your football team. Because when the Niners break the huddle in practice right now, you know who their ex-wide receiver is? Chris Conley. It's Chris Conley. Is he ready for that role? Is Jennings ready for that role? Is Pearsall ready for that role? We're talking about Brandon Ayuk here. And it, to me, it just feels like we've underrated him. And now we're in August, and we're thinking about, as we get ready for a Super Bowl, we're talking about trading Brandon Ayuk and not replacing him with a player. I mean, if they get Amari Cooper, it's a miracle. That'd be a miracle.
To your point, like, overarching theme, I think the majority of Niner fans really like Brandon Ayuk, want to see him stay on the team, and are really disappointed that this has gotten this far down the road. I think the majority of Niner fans want to see Ayuk play for the Niners, sign some sort of a deal to stay here. Like, and to a degree, the Niners are victims of their own success. When you have this many people making top dollar, you know, it's really, really, really difficult. Now, I'm a believer, and I don't know. We're not there. We're not in the negotiations. I have no idea who is driving the hard line. I believe most of the time it's both. It's two parties, because I believe it takes two to tango in any scenario. But when a deal is made, typically, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a compromise amongst, you know, business associates, whether you're purchasing a house, whatever, two parties lose a little and they meet in the middle. That's my belief on how most deals are done.
Right.
And I don't know who's driving the hard line here, but I believe it to be both parties. Did the Niners come in at a number from the beginning that was just never going to get the deal done? Probably. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Probably. There's a reason Parag Marate has been employed by the York family for decades.
Right.
He's really good at his job, and he's a stickler for every nickel. That we know. Okay, we know that. I also know, I think the Niners got bent over pretty hard last year with the Bosa thing. Mm. And if you think about it, when you get screwed by one, the very next guy that comes up in line, are you going to get screwed again? Probably not. And so I think the Niners, to your point, probably did overplay their hand a little on this one. Simultaneously, I don't know what Brandon Ayuk has as a sticking offer. Did he have a specific number in mind that he was never going to budge from? Did the number originally, was it originally lower? And then other people came in the door, and now that number elevated, which is fair. Because once all these other houses in the neighborhood start selling, my house value goes up, and I want to sell at a certain price. Like, in this scenario, I'm really disappointed because I do see both sides of this one. And I just want this guy to be on this team for one more run.
That's all I want, too. And look, man, we look at Bosa's contract and his money that he's going to get and the base salary or whatnot and the cap that he's going to end up getting. He's making some big-time money, Nick Bosa. Big-time money. And look, he's worth it. And I look at Javon Hargrave making big-time money. 2025 is going to make 28. It's going to make 29 in 2026. We'll see if he even gets there. To not take care of our own, as Niner fans, we've been looking for top-flight wide receivers and drafting wide receivers for many, many years. Many, many years. And you finally get a guy who went the JUCO route and went to Arizona State. And I listened to the Pivot podcast again last night, and I was listening to it on the way this morning just to rehash some things. And because there was a lot of nastiness going on online yesterday by beat writers who shall remain nameless, basically just assassinating his character. Basically call him a child. Basically saying he's not an adult in the room, even though he showed up to camp and held in to try to get a new deal done, and he's been at practice. And this playbook gets sickening to me when it comes from white journalists assassinating black characters in sports. And I'm not trying to make it a race thing at all, but I see this all the time, and it's nasty work, that Ayuk is a child. He's not being an adult. He's being immature, blah, 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 blah. And inciting Deebo Samuel as an example of being an adult. We remember what happened after 2021 with Deebo Samuel. It was nasty work by Deebo. Nasty work. Whitney lost a lot of fans, lost a lot of Q rating for the way he was acting, trying to get a new deal. So I'm not with the character assassination when I hear from his JUCO coach, Sierra, saying, man, this guy was on time all the time. He worked his ass off. He was in the film room. I had no issues with Brandon Ayuk. None whatsoever. You go to Herm Edwards. What did Herm Edwards and Antonio Pierce and all those guys say about Brandon Ayuk? They love the guy. They love the guy. He had offers to Colorado State. He had offers to Kansas, Tennessee. He went to Arizona State to play with Herm. Didn't play a lot early on at Arizona State. And then next thing you know, he takes off. And as we were talking about N'Keal Harry, other people were like, there's this Brandon Ayuk guy at Arizona State who's going to be better than all of them. And he becomes a first-round pick, and we don't know who he is. And he starts off slow during the pandemic season. Of course, he has that great run on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. But what we're not going to do is assassinate this character. You may think that he's asking for too much, and that may be a thing. He may be asking for too much. But I have no problem with any player, whether they're overrated, underrated, betting on themselves. And that's basically what Brandon Ayuk is doing. He's saying, I can be an X and I could be a wide receiver in any system and make this thing go. I believe in my talents. You want me to run deep crossers? I can do that. You want me to run stutter and goes? I can do that. You want me to get my nose in dirty and go block middle linebackers? I can go do that too. I can be a well-rounded wide receiver. And we finally got one. And I thought about a conversation Guru and I were having with a former member of the 49ers at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. And that person came out and said, and I respect this former player to the teams. But he shall rename nameless. But he told Guru and I, you can ask Guru when he comes in here, Sasky. He goes, so you look at the receiver room right now. Who you betting on? You betting on Debo? You betting on Jenny Drew? You betting on Ayuk? I said, I'm betting on Ayuk. Guru said the same thing. And that former player said, you guys hit it on the head. It's Brandon Ayuk, and that's the only answer. You cannot let this guy go. You cannot let this guy go in this offense, in this system. So here we are here. This is bad business. This is bad business. Ayuk may end up going to Pittsburgh, which he wants. What he say on the Pivot Podcast? If I had a guess, I'd play for the Niners, I'd play for Commanders with Jaden Daniels, or I'd go to Pittsburgh and play with Mike Tomlin and those dogs over there with Darnell Washington, Firemuth, and Jaylen Warren, and Najee Harris, and George Pickens, and I feel really good over there. But he wants to be a Niner. He wants to be a Niner. He wants to be here. So I think in this situation, it's bad business about the 49ers to take it this far. If you're going to have a game plan, if you know who's going to go this route, why not just trade him at the NFL draft and get a player that can help you now? Now you're going to trade this guy and you're going to put this pressure on Brock, Pearsall, Conley, Jennings to step up for Brandon Ayuk? All right. That to me is bad business, Shasky. This is terrible.
Well, I mean, it sounded like they were close, and then, you know, the market kind of exploded, and then the Niners gave, again, I'm just reading the tea leaves here. The Niners, you know, gave him either a deadline with a number attached to it, and Brandon Ayuk refused it, or maybe the Niners never came up from their original offer. That I don't know. I legitimately don't know. He requested a trade. You know, he's there. This is one of the rare circumstances, B, where I do see both sides.
I
understand, like, being frustrated at the Niners. I really do. If there were 27 other teams, if this, the Niners were 27 other teams, they probably could do some wiggle room here and find a way to find the extra $4 or $5 million or whatever it is the difference and cave into what his demands are. But they are one of the few teams that literally has 40 guys of the 75 that are in camp right now. 40 guys are looking for a new contract. 40.
It's not
looking I counted good. It out. 40 guys. Okay. And so there is a pecking order. And again, this is just what my understanding is.
Right. 40 guys looking for a new deal.
There are 40 guys that are going to be either restricted or unrestricted right. free agents at the end of this year of the 75 man roster. 40 guys. Okay.
How many will be on the 53 is what I want.
Well, so I'll just, like, let's go right down the list. Right, I mean, Elijah Mitchell, who was sat in out on Sunday, Brandon Ayuk, Chris Connolly, Trent Taylor, Malik Turner, Logan Thomas, Braden Willis, Aaron Banks, Colton McKivitz. Right. I mean, I'm just going Jalen Moore. Joe, none of those guys are on the caliber of Brandon Ayuk. Okay. Wait till I get to the end here. Givens, Malik Collins. Let's go to the linebackers. Dre Greenlaw can be an unrestricted free agent if they buy him out for $1 million. DeAndre Campbell. I look at the secondary, and this is where it gets kind of tricky. Hufanga, Lenore, Ombre Thomas. Like, all of these guys can be free agents. Charvarius Ward. So Brandon Ayuk is one of many guys, and I feel like they did probably try to prioritize him, and there's a pecking order here. And I think CMC needing new money might have jumped the pecking order. Well, I think Trent Williams needing new money might have jumped the pecking order. I think Brandon Ayuk, they have money allotted to him, and whether it's enough for him or not, I don't know. But there are other people in line, probably with their hand out. Like, if you're not going to pay Brandon, well, I'm willing to negotiate now of these other guys that I reference. And I look, you could say, Joe, Brandon Ayuk is more important than all those guys that you reference. I agree. But the way you build a team is, like, could I get three of these guys for the price of Brandon Ayuk? I don't know if that's the calculation they're doing.
That's what they did with Brandon. That's what they did with DeForest Buckner. They thought we could get Jimmy Ward and Eric Armstead, and we could get Javon Kinlaw. Now, Kinlaw didn't work out. Jimmy Ward ended up leaving, and he left him with a sour note. The way he acted in Philadelphia, that was not mature to me. That was not maturity.
The way we acted
at the end there. But when you bring up guys like Elijah Mitchell, he's going to be gone. Jalen Moore, he doesn't play. Like, the big boys. I'm looking at Travarius Ward, Diamador Lenore, Hufanga. Okay, cool. Greenlaw, I feel like we may be looking at D Winners taking his spot. Or Jalen Graham taking his spot. Trey Greenlaw may never be the same after that Achilles tendon. We may never see that.
I think
when it comes to football, am I going to pay Dre? I love Dre Greenlaw. He's one of my favorite players. But am I going to invest multi-million dollars in a guy coming off a torn ACL when I know that I got D Winners, Jalen Graham on the cheap alongside Fred Warner?
But that's the other side of the, like, there's this always this thing. If IU goes on the field, he could tear his ACL. No one ever looks at it from, and I'm not saying I cape up for management, but no one ever looks on the other side like, we gave Dre Greenlaw a massive contract. He was worth it.
Yeah,
and
he tore
his Achilles, and now you're paying him for Terrence. Because, and that sucks, right? So it goes both ways.
At least he tore to the Super Bowl.
What?
He tore to the Super Bowl.
No, playing his ass off.
You know, something can't do anything.
I'm not blaming him. What I'm saying, though, is that everyone says, you could get hurt. You could get hurt. Which you can. You could also get hurt after you get paid.
Absolutely.
Todd Gurley's a great example.
But don't you
pay Todd Gurley, and he got hurt, and he was never the same.
But don't you want to do right by the player?
Of course.
That gives your organization the respect that they deserve, and other players see that as like, you know what? No matter what, they did right by the player.
But outside of the Buckner situation, where they did send him to a place where he got his money, when have they ever done
They've done really well. They've done really well with this regime. However, I was thinking about this yesterday. The Harbaugh era ended, and there was a lot of leaks everywhere, right? People were talking, leaking everywhere. Here we are going into year 8 of Shanahan and Lynch. And there's people chirping all over the place.
It's a byproduct of success.
This place was so buttoned up when they started. And they started, and it was buttoned up. And for somehow, things just spiraled to the point where there's rumors here, there's rumors there, there's trades here. Our offseasons have not been drama-free whatsoever. Every single offseason, there's something that's hanging over. Now, to their credit, they've been able to put that to the side and get far in the playoffs, and get deep into the season, and play winning football. Credit to them for blocking out the noise. They know how to do that very, very well. But at the same time, there's just so much leakage going on, and reports by beat writers or whatnot. I'm thinking, damn, can we button this up a little bit? Well, and that's where I got pissed off. When you look at the Pivot podcast, where the first time he ever spoke, he goes, look, man, I thought we were negotiating. I was getting my suit ready. I thought we had a deal done. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing things in the media and the report numbers. That's not good business.
That's not good negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And that ticked off the player. Players get ticked off by that stuff. When you start leaking numbers out there and they're having a negotiation back and forth, and all of a sudden the leak gets out to Adam Schefter or it gets out to Ian Rappaport, you're watching TV, it's like, wait a minute. I thought that was a private conversation. So now it just feels like teams and the player, both these parties, are trying to get ahead of the PR trade, right? They're trying to get the headline to say, hey, hold on, we're doing it well. Hold on. Just like the Klay Thompson situation in a way. or things got nasty with Clint again, all those stink pieces. I'm like, can the players just leave?
Yeah, but you can't control, like, for the like the Adam Schefter stuff. Like, you can feel that the team leaked it. I don't know. I don't know what ended up happening.
It's coming from somewhere.
But you also need to be emotionless. If you're going to say everything's a business, right, to some degree you have to understand part of the business model in the professional sports world is everything gets leaked. And fair or not, that's what ends up happening. To your point about now things are going to get, there's no doubt it is very chaotic. They've got mega superstars who are on cameras everywhere. They're on the receiver dock. They've got millions of followers on various social media platforms. Their wives, the team is so popular, some of the wives are as popular as some of the players on the team, right? And then this is a byproduct of the success. When you're in the Super Bowl and you're pounding on the NFC Championship door every single year, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the Chiefs had a similar contract thing go down with Chris Jones, where Chris Jones, they just won the Super Bowl. And Chris Jones is in the stands week one with two guys that look like they're from the mob, right? So even Kansas City with the Golden Boy has had issues.
Right. And so they've had issues, and they still come into camp. And this narrative that, and there's another narrative that I want to debunk today, is that, you know, Brandon Ayuk's priority is to get the back. Yeah, he wants to take care of himself and his family. There's no doubt about that. But you don't think the guy wants to win? Now we're questioning winning. Like, you bring up Chris Jones. I was talking to somebody. It was funny. You bring up Chris Jones. I was talking to somebody yesterday about Chris Jones. It's like, remember he held out? Everybody tried to say it was about his weight. Yeah, he wanted to be taken care of as the top of the top. He's a big-time player. Let me be the top of the top. He misses the games. They finally paid him, and he goes out there and dominates again. Again, in the biggest games, because the guy at the end of the day wants to win.
Yeah.
All these players want to win, but they also want to get taken care of, right? So, look, what does this offense look like with Brandon Ayuk? Because right now my mind is Brandon Ayuk's not on this football team. So now I'm looking at how does this offense move without Brandon Ayuk? We're going to have Larry Kruger on at 8:30. He's been at every practice. I got to know what's going on in practice. Kyle McCombie's going to join us at 9:20 to talk about the cap, because he's saying some different things where Brock Purdy's money won't really take effect into the cap until 2026. So I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on with the cap and Brock Purdy's money and how you navigate through that. But right now, Brandon Ayuk has been told to go negotiate a deal with Cleveland, New England. It's probably not going to happen with New England. And Cleveland, I know he doesn't want to go there. And if the Niners do trade with Cleveland, they're going to want Amari Cooper. That'd be great if we get Amari Cooper. That'd be awesome.
It's a decent compensation package.
That's a great compensation package.
I think most of us would prefer to have Ayuk, right? Like, we want Ayuk.
I don't want Ayuk gone.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to have Ayuk on the team. I want one last run with this team. But, like, maybe he wants top dog. I don't know if he wants top dog, but I'll say this. He had three games in the regular season and one game in the playoffs to prove what it would look like, him as the number one minus Debo. And it was a little spotty. And you could say, Joe, they didn't also have their left tackle. Very fair. They might not have their left tackle in years moving forward. Yeah, the quarterback didn't play well. Totally fair. Like, but the guys that are commanding $30 million plus have been A1 targets on their roster for multiple years. And this is a small sample.
They also have different offenses, though, Joe. They also are pass-first offenses where their running games are not the focal point of their offenses.
Which is why I've been saying since day one, does it make good – I'm asking out loud. Does it make good team-building sense?
For this guy, yes. He's an ex. He's a dog. He does everything on every single down. He gets down and dirty in this offense. You want people to get down and dirty, blocking downfield. You're looking at those Christian McCaffrey runs. Just looking at the highlights again last night. Damn, there's number 11 blocking downfield, 50 yards downfield. How many wide receivers don't want to block? Hell, Debo Samuel, they say he tips off plays because when he's not getting the ball, I'm just going to lollygag off the line of scrimmage. And I'm not picking off Debo at all. All this stuff matters in this offense.
I
was trying to explain that with Ryan Clarkson. Look, man, I do everything they ask. First and second down, I'm cracking down on linebackers. I got no problem with that. Third down, I'm going to go beat this guy. I'm going to go beat this guy one-on-one. So you know what? If they're going to move him, move him. But I think it's bad business that they waited this long to move him when we're trying to get ready for a regular season. And if you don't get a player that can help you for this season, then I'm going to be a little concerned about this team.
But I mean, obviously, I mean, they're not a better team with Ayuk off the team. Like, they're just not. There's no other way around it. But B, like, I don't pay a guy $31 million a year.
I don't know if he's asking
to block,
that.
Right? We don't know what he's asking for.
Well, they're paying George Kittle a lot of money to block. He's blocking on the most crucial downs in the Super Bowl.
And this is,
how many times we see that? No, we don't pay George Kittle to block. Well, that's what he does. He got three targets in the damn Super Bowl against Kansas City.
And he's making half of what
he got his guarantee. guaranteed money, though. They moved his money out and he got paid.
But okay.
You know, he got his money. All right, let's
put this up on the other side. But Ayuk has gotten more guaranteed money through 3 years than Yamino Lenore and Hufanga.
I'm not going to pocket watch. I'm not going to pocket watch today. I'm not going to pocket watch today. He's worth every damn dime and he deserves the bag. He's one of the best X receivers in this league. And you know what? If you want to trade him, then trade him. To hell with it. Let's see what this passing game looks like moving forward without Brandon Ayuk, because that's what I'm ready for. And we're going to see what's what. We're going to see who's who. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Robert Half.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What seems to be clear is that if and when he is traded, and I would say we're closer to a trade than we are to him staying in San Francisco at this point, he is going to make more than the 49ers offered him. How much more? That might depend on the team that he winds up with, because it sounds like some teams have been a little bit more aggressive than others with regard to the financials. But Ayuk has a few destinations in mind. One of them was Washington. He made that clear as he made the social media videos that he posted with his buddy Jaden Daniels. Here we have not heard Washington and the Commanders bubbling up as of recently as far as them being one of the top contenders right now. Those other teams that have been mentioned, yeah, they're in play as well. But again, Brandon Ayuk seems like he is going to be a rich man once he gives the green light and once the 49ers have the trade compensation in place with whatever team they're going to trade him to.
Now back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
That's Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. Yesterday on Brandon Ayuk, Niners getting ready to move. And, you know, talking to some people yesterday, there was a lot of buzz about Brandon Ayuk at Canton, Ohio, I should say, Shasky. Canton, Ohio, Pro Football Hall of Fame, where Patrick Willis was inducted Saturday, got his gold jacket, beautiful speech. I don't know if you checked it out. It was awesome.
I did. It was incredible, and it was long overdue. And
yep.
He's such a classy dude. I mean,
very
just
classy.
One of the great pillars of the organization, and it's great. He's only 39 years old.
I know. He's so young. And Yeah, we're older than him. And then, you know, you see all the players, his former teammates.
Why'd you have to say that?
His former teammates going out there. Jim Harbaugh was out there. A lot of them showing his respect.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Jim Harbaugh?
The tucked in polo.
Oh, yeah, of course. Jim Harbaugh, he's one of one, man. He's one of one. But from what I was told, there was a lot of buzz about Brandon Ayuk at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Meaning what?
What's going to happen with him?
Gotcha.
What's going on with him? And I think management now has gotten to a point. I can't wait to talk to TK about this at 9:20, and we'll talk to Kruger about this at 8:30. And management just kind of got tired of the situation. And now it's whether point, does Jed York even want to pay the guaranteed money at this point? Does he want to come out of pocket for Brandon Ayuk here with the 49ers? And it looks like it doesn't. It looks like a trade is going to go down. So how do we get to this point, folks? 888-957-9570. And how are you feeling about these trade rumors? It feels realer than real. It feels realer than real deal Holyfield right now, folks. And shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance. You got the dealer. Good morning to everybody out there getting out their graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? All the overnight strippers or whatnot. Good morning to everybody. How, not Niner fans, how are we feeling this morning? Are we ready to move on without Brandon Ayuk? Are you ready to move on without Brandon Ayuk here? I saw this tweet from Michael Silver and I just kind of chuckled because this can't be true. Maybe it is. Maybe it's straight from Shanahan's mouth. I have no idea. Michael Silver Chronicle. In a vacuum, he says, I feel like Kyle Shanahan would rather have Kendrick Bourne and the Patriots second round pick than Amari Cooper and the Browns number two pick. Kendrick Bourne and the Patriots pick in the second round over Amari Cooper and the Browns number two pick. Michael Silver saying, I feel like Shanahan would rather do that. Then I see Tracy Sandler say, yeah, I agree with that. Would he rather have Kendrick Bourne coming off a torn ACL just because he played here once?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know what Shanahan wants. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I legitimately don't know. I thought he wanted Trey and then, like, pivoted within, you know, a year. So who knows? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, that's just crazy to me, though.
I would rather have Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I think we all would.
Even if the pick was 20 slots lower, I would still rather have
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I don't know if Amari wants to block. I know how important that is. And that's in this offense, very important.
Yeah, no doubt.
But like at the same time, like we're talking about threats, just pure threats and football players. Like Amari Cooper's resume is significantly more comprehensive than Kendrick Bourne's. The question that I keep coming back to is, you know, like, can they find some way to amicably resolve this? Can both parties budge a little and meet in the middle to, like, because it, I think at the end of the day, Ayuk wants his money, quote unquote, but he also wants to stay with the Niners. Yeah. I think he's smart enough to realize like his best chance of, cause like this is how I view it. And maybe he's viewing it totally different, right? That's my one chance. I view wide receiver different than running back and linebacker. There's a lot of guys getting third and fourth contracts now at wide receiver when in generations prior that didn't happen, right? And so Amari Cooper's a great example. He's been broken off a couple times, and he's going to get a third contract at some point. Tyreek Hill, I believe, now renegotiated his fourth contract. Devontae is in the middle of a third contract, but he is probably going to get a fourth one because he's got two years left. So like once Ayuk signs whatever deal with whatever team, it's more than likely he'll be renegotiating and changing the money around. He's 26 now. By the time he's 28 or 29, right? So before he's even 30 years old, he's looking at it at minimum a third deal, right? And so
possibly,
And that's where I would say to him, like, okay, maybe, and I know these guys all want every penny. I get all that. But like, is two, and I don't know the numbers, is $2 or $3 million per year less worth more to stay in this system with this team playing in the playoffs? I don't know what his algorithm is, right? Like, I don't know. Like some guys, I just want to be a top five paid receiver. I don't know if that's how he feels.
Doesn't like, feel like that. He just says, look, man, I know what I can do. I work my ass off. I stay in a facility in the offseason, which I didn't know. He says, you know, he works out. He lives out here during the offseason. He's always here. He sits in the film room. He sits in the weight room. He works his ass off. He's working. The guy does want to be respected, though. It's because he mentioned it. Ryan Clark mentioned it. We're finding out with Clay Thompson and all these players. And we see it in arbitration when it comes to baseball. J.D. Davis, out of all people, was ticked off about arbitration, right? Corbin Burns and the Milwaukee Brewers never could see eye to eye after they went through arbitration after some of the things that were said in those negotiations. It gets a little personal. Ayukis admitted that. It has become personal with Parag and the moneymakers with the 49ers. And he's like, look, man, I come here and did everything that you guys wanted. I made second team All-Pro. I helped Brock Purdy become a great quarterback. Now, Brock Purdy's helped him become a great receiver. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they make great synergy.
They have great chemistry together. But Ayuk also did have 1,000 yards. As we're looking at all these wide receivers, like we're talking about Cooper, like, wow, he had 1,000 yards. Cleveland had four different quarterbacks last year. Well, it's not lost on me in 2022. That Ayuk had over 1,000 yards with three different quarterbacks. Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy. And he still went out there and balled. So we can nitpick certain games. We can nitpick game logs. The fact is, this offense went to another level with all these guys together. And I want all these guys together. But if we're going to go ahead and do the deal now, then to me it is bad business. And it's bad on all parties. Now, Ayuk will end up getting what he wants. Because he doesn't have to sign a new deal with New England. He's still in New England right now. I'm not signing with you guys. You trade for me, I'm not showing up.
Do you know the Rolling Stones song? Can't always get what you want. Like, this is one of those situations, and this is where, like, I equate it to house buying. Like, unless you are godly rich, you're going to have to compromise on something. So when it comes to Brandon Ayuk, like, it sounded like to me he wanted his money and he wanted his, like, be top paid and get here. That's the feeling we get, and we don't know exactly what the specifics are. They only have so much money, and there is a row of people with their hand out right now that are it's and that's out of his control. But there are a row of people. CMC had his hand out. Trent's got his hand out. D'Amino Lenore's got his hand out, and that's the business of football. But this team is just unique compared to the other teams that he's trying to go to. They're right up against it. They're paying the highest paid linebacker, the highest paid tight end, running back, left tackle, like all across the board. And so I think in an ideal world, they would have loved to have gotten this deal done and give him exactly what he would have made him happy and blah, blah. We're at a point now where I think the Niners need to come up a little. He needs to come down a little. And they need to just figure this out.
At the same time, though, Shasky, I'm not going to pretend like I know what the number is. I still don't know the number. Until somebody comes out and tell me what the number is between the Niners and Brandon Ayuk, I'm not going to assume what the number is. And what I'm hearing from the guy, from Brandon Ayuk, and I got to take it because players open up to players all the time. When players sit down with players, they feel a lot more comfortable because they know what it is to go through the grind and go through the business of pro football. We don't know. We've never been in these war rooms. We've never been in these draft rooms. We've never been in these negotiations. That's where we're trying to educate ourselves.
What are you getting at?
So what I'm getting at is he basically said a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl, if you allow me to say this, couple weeks at the Super Bowl, he wanted to sign. He wanted to get it done. Just get this out the way and be a 49er. And be a Niner for a long, long time. It didn't happen. And then the Niners started slow playing. And all right, we'll break here. Lubman's back, so he's on. He's a stickler for the breaks. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises.
Yo, Bay Area, what it do? It's your boy, P-Lo. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What up, P-Lo? What up, everybody out there? Shout out to everybody on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online to just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And the segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Coming up on the River Islands guest line, Larry Kruger, 8:30, Tim Kawakami, 9:20 from The Athletic. Mary Kay Cabot joined us yesterday on the River Islands guest line. And you know what? It's time for everybody to go discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop. We're talking Brandon Ayuk, 888-957-9570. Roasters, the lines are open right now for you 49er fans. What do you make of this situation? What do you make of this situation with Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers? Matt Maiocco late last night, and I trust Matt Maiocco. You know, there's a lot of accounts out there tweeting that it was already a done deal, that he was in Pittsburgh. It was like, well, don't jump the gun here. But Matt Maiocco basically said that the Niners have given permission to Brandon Ayuk to go seek a deal with New England and Cleveland. Now, it's been on record that, hey, Ayuk doesn't want to go to New England. The deal would have got done around the draft day because apparently New England had to deal in a place for their second-round pick to go get to go get Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk doesn't want to go there. Doesn't want to go there. He wants to either go to the Commanders with Jane Daniels or he wants to go to Pittsburgh. If not, just stay here.
Okay. Well, so I feel like the options are pretty straightforward now. If those are it, the Niners aren't going to deal with a team they don't get something that they want back. And I don't even know what that. I mean, if they want Kendrick Bourne and a pick,
who knows what the Niners want?
Yeah,
I have
no idea.
Apparently, they wanted a first round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, so
maybe they're asking for too much.
Jimmy G, who might not make the Rams roster,
might not make the roster.
But I don't know. But I know this, They basically told him, go out there. At least it feels like they've gone out there and said, find who wants to trade for you. Now, in the Tyreek Hill situation, they gave up multiple picks, the Dolphins did, and were ready to break them off, right? Multiple first-round picks, and here's, X amount of million dollars. Here you go. In this situation, it doesn't feel like the market is as robust as maybe I anticipated in terms of teams saying, I think there are teams that will pay them, but then the question is, are you also willing to surrender a draft pick and pay him? That's the double whammy, right? It's like when the Niners acquired Dee Ford, giving up the second round pick, which was essentially a late first, and giving him all the money. So in this situation, he wants to go to Washington or Pittsburgh. Well, those teams, their offer isn't as good as what the Niners want in return. So the Niners have said, we're not trading you there. We will trade you, to Cleveland or New England because we like their trade package, and you can get whatever deal it is that you're looking for. Or I'm assuming they have some deal on the table that he doesn't feel is adequate. You could stay here with that. Or the third option is you play on your fifth-year contract.
Right.
Which is fully guaranteed for $15 million or 14 and some change, million dollars. I mean, those are your three options. And so I guess to a degree, like Mayoko's been saying for two or three days, the ball is in his court amongst those three options.
Well, here's what Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer said yesterday about Amari Cooper standing in Cleveland.
There is no impasse between Amari Cooper and the Cleveland Browns right now. Amari is in good standing with the Cleveland Browns because they restructured his contract. He's making his $20 million base, which is now fully guaranteed. That was one of the changes in the restructure so that he didn't have to go into camp without a guaranteed contract. And then they gave him $5 million more in incentives that he should be able to make based on his previous production. So he basically got a $5 million raise come in this season, and then they were planning to probably revisit an extension sometime during the season, maybe after the season. Amari is loved here, so let's make no mistake about that. The Browns love him. He loves being here. He said the other day, last week, that he would love to finish his career here. But the problem is, over the long haul, the Browns probably don't want to pay him, more than the $25 million he's set to make this season. And if they're going to invest that kind of money, sort of close to at least the $30 million threshold that these elite receivers are making now, they would rather do so with a long-term contract for a young player who's in his prime at the age of 26. Now, why does that not make sense for the 49ers to do? Well, they've got a lot of big salaries. They've got a lot of offensive weapons that they're paying. And if they don't want to go to 30 or higher than 30 for Brandon Ayuk, then maybe it makes sense for them to do this if they got something in return that could be a plug-and-play situation for them. And that's what Amari would be.
All right, Mary Kay, what would the Browns give up for Brandon Ayuk?
Well, if Amari is going, then I don't see the Browns giving up their first-round pick. They're not going to want to do that. They haven't had a first-round pick in 3 years from the Deshaun Watson trade. So that one is probably staying here. Mm-hmm. I would say that the starting point then would be the second-round pick, and then maybe you would ask for a few other things for your former first-rounder, in addition to Amari. I would probably go with maybe a mid-round pick or two.
So, Shasky, if you're telling me I could get Amari Cooper and the second or third round pick for Brandon Ayuk, and you don't want to pay Brandon Ayuk, and look, I'm going to say this again. My preference is to keep Brandon Ayuk. I want Brandon Ayuk on the San Francisco 49ers. I think he's a really good player. But if you're telling me that I could get Amari Cooper and a pick for Brandon Ayuk, and I get that Amari Cooper's going to want new money down the line, well, you know what? You're playing on a one-year deal. Help us with a Super Bowl and you're going to get compensated elsewhere. I'm doing a deal right now for Amari Cooper.
Yeah, but Cleveland's not going to do the deal unless they have insurance from Brandon Ayuk that he would sign that deal.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Right? There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure, and that's one thing. He wants to go to Pittsburgh, not Cleveland. But again, if the Niners can do it and Ayuk agrees to that, I do it in a heartbeat.
So one thing that I don't think that we've kind of explored long enough is like the team building aspect. Like we were thinking, like, I think most people were thinking, all right, Brandon Ayuk's the guy that's going to stay. And then next offseason, it would be sayonara to Debo or Kittle or someone else, right? Like Dre Greenlaw, whatever, some combination of all those guys. What if he just decides, like, you know what? I don't want to go to Cleveland and I don't want to go to New England. And the Niners stand pat with what they have. And they say, hey, look, play on your fifth-year option. And we promise we won't franchise you. Now, how does that help the Niners? Well, if he leaves in free agency, you do get the third-round comp pick, which isn't the worst thing in the world. It's not the greatest compensation, but it gives him some freedom and it gets him, you know, playing on the fifth year option. Does he love it? No. Is he risking stuff? Absolutely. Like I acknowledge all of those things. And it's probably the least likely of all of the paths that they could go.
If I'm Ayuk, I want that in writing. That you won't franchise me. Well,
Trent had that.
Yeah,
Trent had that in his contract.
Yeah,
right?
I wanted it writing in the contract. Like, hey, you can't franchise.
Yeah, that's basically what he had when he hit, when they traded for him. Right. Remember, they said like, we will not franchise you when you become a free agent. Exactly. So I don't know. Those things are rare, but maybe that's it. But if they move Ayuk, I would be very surprised if we didn't see almost an immediate extension for either Lenore or Aaron Banks or whatever, because there are a line of guys. What?
Tarvarius Ward.
I'd probably sign Lenore before Ward. Like, Lenore is a guy who was a middle, late-round pick who hasn't made a lot of guaranteed money. He's playing without any guarantees whatsoever. He's made nothing in his career. If you get him this year before he really explodes, and I think he's going to this year as an elite player, I think he can be a Pro Bowler this year. Like, the price tag now is significantly cheaper. So there's a team-building question of, like, hey, is it really smart to have $70 million, $65 million invested into wide receivers when I could pay one of my corners, maybe before the market explodes for him, get maybe my left guard signed long-term who I drafted and have developed internally. Like, there is something to be said for maybe it's best to spread some of that money around, acquire a draft pick, acquire another player, pay some of these other young, I don't know. I mean, I would prefer keeping Ayuk, but I do see, like, when you're balancing your roster, because you have so many good players with their hand out, it's not a slam dunk that I have to pay Ayuk.
Well, this is interesting because, and I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You don't want to build, you don't want to put $60 million in a receiver
room.
That's your philosophy. That's fine. Deamon Lenore is 25 years old. I want to keep him here too. Tarvarius Ward's 29 years old. I don't mind having him, but I'd be a little weary. But he's a really good player.
He is.
If I could get him a two-year deal, great. I'd give him a two-year deal. But a lot of these players that I'm looking at, like Eli Mitchell, can't stay healthy. He can walk. Jalen Moore, I'm not paying.
What about Aaron Banks?
You know what I'm saying? Aaron Banks will get taken care of. Aaron Banks, I believe, will get taken care of.
The left guard market is very expensive.
It is very expensive. But
you're seeing
guys
getting $17 million a year.
And look, you know what? Shanahan does have a philosophy when it comes to offensive linemen. He'll pivot off an offensive lineman. Like, we thought Lincoln Thomason, man, we should pay Lincoln Thomason, But you know what? They didn't.
Well,
and we haven't looked back. We haven't even brought up Lincoln Thomason.
That's a great example of someone where they acquired a player who was a really good Pro Bowl level player. They let him walk in free agency. And we were like, what the hell's going on with Aaron Banks? They've redshirted him basically for one year. Like, that's what they're thinking they're going to do with Pearsall with one of these two receiver spots.
And you know, this was interesting, and I think we slept on this. This was on the Rich Eisen show. Rich Eisen show, April 26th, New York, Kenny. Ian Rappaport. This is not lost on me, because everybody keeps saying, well, we got our replacement, Brett Ayuk. Did you have to Ricky Pearsall? I think they were willing to trade either Ayuk or Debo Samuel. Go ahead and pull it. It is, what number is it? CY49, New York, Kenny. Ian Rappaport on a Rich Eisen show. On the Niners try to push to keep Ayuk and perhaps trade Debo. Don't forget about this. Go ahead, play it, Kitty.
I don't get the sense that they're close to trading Ayuk last night. I think they would have done it maybe for a one. I wouldn't say this is like reporting. This is more just my general feel of the situation.
Sure.
It feels more like there's a little bit of a push to keep Ayuk now. And could Debo be had? Like, maybe. Brandon Ayuk is a very good player. I think they have made offers out to him to pay him like a very well-compensated receiver. It's not there yet, and the market has gone up, as we learned last night right before the draft and several other times this week.
With A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and then the Amon-Ra deal, I think, helped Ayuk's market.
Mm-hmm.
But keep your young, good players, and if you know, Debo's got 2 years left. He's already been paid once. Teams might be interested. Like, I could see it.
So that was back on April 26th with Deebo Samuel. And, you know, it's funny that Deebo's having a hell of a camp from what I hear. Good for him. He's come to OTAs. He's come to meeting camp. He's come to training camp. He's practiced. It looks like he's in phenomenal shape. But it's basically a contract year for Deebo Samuel, too.
Well, and Kyle has said this out loud. Him and Deebo are very close.
Very close.
Like, and some would say, like, hey, you shouldn't get that close to your players. I understand that. Like, I do. I really do understand.
Think
that,
about who he's close
in
with.
The job that he's in. Like, it's.
Think about who he's hung out with Cabo with.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Deebo's one of his closest friends on
Deebo,
the team.
Deebo, yeah. No
Every
doubt.
Day at practice from the beat reporters out there, he spends 5 minutes or so gossiping it up with Deebo Samuel. Now, I don't know if other players around the league do that with their head coach, but clearly Deebo and Kyle are very, very close. That doesn't mean that he wants to keep them forever. I'm just saying, like, there's a relationship there, and I don't know. I mean, things change. And I also think that when we talk about this timeline, I think both parties wanted to get a deal done. And I think as different developments, the market changed, as opinions changed, as other players decided that they wanted more money because other markets at other positions have changed, I think this thing has been a moving target all offseason. And I think they were really close multiple times. And I still think they're close. I am not ready to say trade the guy.
No, I don't want to trade this guy either. I don't want to trade this guy. Now let's go back to John Lynch. Draft Combine, or actually this is February 13th, a couple days after the Super Bowl. And we remember Aiyuk was very despondent in the locker room, very sad. Here's John Lynch. Back then, in February 13th, whether or not Aiyuk was a priority to re-sign a new deal.
Yeah, you have to prioritize all these things. You know, Brandon's entering his fifth year option. Brandon's been a fantastic player for us. Kyle calls him a warrior all the time because of the way he goes out and competes. And that shines through anybody who, whether you're a trained eye or whether you're a fan, you can see the passion he plays with. You can see the production that he's had. We're extremely prideful in what he's become, and he should be as well. And so your team is comprised of guys, you know, veterans who've been paid very well, of guys who want to be played very well. We got one guy on our team who pretty prominent who can't be played very, you know, real well right now because the CBA doesn't allow. So it's all one big puzzle. We've developed a good cadence over the years, Kyle and I, where he focuses on the season. We do all the planning, and then we present things to him, and we work through it. And that's what we'll continue to do. But of course, you want a guy like Brandon Aiyuk to be a part of you going forward.
So in your Rappaport later on, and back to Rappaport, January, February, March 4th, Ian Rappaport said the Niners were going to get something done after free agency.
It also means trade frenzy, also means contract extension frenzy, which is not quite as catchy, but still something important to the guys who are likely going to get deals, including Brandon Aiyuk, the star receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. He kind of raised some eyebrows, I would say, a little bit at the end of the season, leaving his future open with the team. My understanding is, obviously, there are teams who would like to trade for the very, very talented young receiver. The 49ers firmly believe he is in their plans. I would expect them to get to work on a new deal for him probably after free agency.
So this timeline of what has happened to get to this point, there's already a lot of smoke and mirrors before the NFL draft, and nothing has basically changed. Despite Aiyuk going to the facility, despite Lynch and Aiyuk meeting, despite the bro hugs, despite him coming to practice and being a hold in, nothing has changed since February, March, April. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I come to the conclusion that, boy, this sucks. Aiyuk may have misplayed his hand, but the 49ers are not. They're not innocent in this situation.
They're both culpable.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We'll get to the calls in just a second.
And you know, like, I want to make this very clear. I think he's a really, really good player. I think the Niners think he's a really, really, really good player. But when you're asking for, assuming he's asking for top dollar, I do think there's an interesting argument to be made, and I will listen to it. I'm not saying it's 100%, you know, foolproof, but like, hey, we kind of saw what the offense looked without Deebo, without Trent Williams, who are extremely important. Purdy struggled, and Aiyuk, these are the numbers. 4-for-76 against Cleveland, and he had a really nice play at the end of that game and to get him 25 yards down in position. Five for 57 against Minnesota.
Not bad.
5-for-109 against Cincinnati. All three were losses. And then in the Green Bay game in the playoffs, he went 3-for-32.
Okay.
So
no, hold on. Let's context everything.
Which is okay. What I said on the front end.
Let's context everything. Now I remember the Minnesota game. All five of those catches were in the first half, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And remember we had Baldy on the next day? And we asked, why did they stop going to him? And Baldy goes, I don't know why they stopped throwing the ball to him. Didn't make sense to me. Should have walked out that game with 13 targets. Remember that? Remember that? So context to that game. And, by the way, Brock Purdy throwing two interceptions in the fourth quarter in that football game. Now, we could say, hey, IU didn't produce at a high level, but Brock Purdy had his worst games of the season. And then let's move on to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Or, excuse me, the Green Bay game, the playoff game. Cincinnati, they got rolled. They got rolled in Cincinnati. Yeah. But Purdy didn't play well either. The Green Bay game, we all watched it. We were just talking about it a couple months ago. Yeah. I'll send you guys a clip to the announcers where Brock Purdy probably got away with throwing three interceptions. And Greg Olsen saying, boy, you missed Brandon Ayuk right there. You missed Brandon Ayuk right there. A receiver can only do so much. That we saw at the beginning of the receiver doc when Randy Moss narrated and said, look, man, we run the routes. We get hit. We can't control whether the ball is coming to us or not.
But that's kind of where I'm going with this is that you're on a team where the most targets he got this year, 10 against the Cleveland Browns when Debo was out. And then the other two, 9 and 9 in, you know, the game against Seattle and the other game against Seattle. So, like, you're looking at a guy that on an offense, he's not going to get 10 targets.
But sometimes you don't need the targets to create gravity for others, right?
But I guess where I'm going is I don't think it's smart money for this team, okay, the way they play football, to invest $65 million in two receivers when you're not going to give both those guys 10-plus targets a game. The Miami offense, I'll grant them this, even though I don't think it's great money spent. They're gonna throw those guys the ball 25 times.
They will.
And I just don't think that you're built that way. So, I mean, like when I'm looking at team building, is it the smartest way to spend $65 million to spend it on two receivers?
But like, no, probably not. But and I understand what you're saying. I'm not disputing what you're saying. However, when it comes to the passing game and it comes to making plays on third down, you need some guys to go down there and go make things happen.
Of course.
Do you have enough? If you move off of Brandon Ayuk to make that happen in
the
passing game.
On the roster now, I don't think they do. That I agree. And that's where it's difficult. Like,
so if we can nitpick game logs, know what happened in those games. The Minnesota game, again, I specifically remember, you can pull this up, look for it, Lubman. After the Minnesota game, when Baldy came on, he was like, you gave Brandon Ayuk all the targets and the yards in the first half. He stopped going to him.
But that's the ethos of the team. They're going to be a run-first team. When I listen to Dan Campbell and the receiver doc talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown,
right,
and I know that that's the money that's kind of changed the equation here, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the heartbeat of that team. Everything, Dan Campbell's like, everything runs through him. He was so enamored with Amon-Ra St. Brown, he showcased three plays in a blowout loss the end where he's run-blocking to finish. And they are going to target that guy 12 to 15 times a game. He is their offense. And so for them, it makes sense.
You still got Sam LaPorta. You got J-Mo Williams. You got some ballers.
The coach is telling you he's the most important player.
He is their most important player.
I'm just telling you, I've listened to Kyle Shanahan hard enough. Kyle Shanahan's like, when we run the ball 25 times, we win. That's the way he thinks that football's
played.
That's
fine, but who's important in the run game?
Trent, CMC, Kittle.
Is Brandon Ayuk not important in a run game?
But I don't pay a guy $30 million to run block.
You're paying Kittle basically to do that.
But Kittle does two things for 15.
But he got his guaranteed money, though. He got his money. But, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
let's go to Robin Sanbruno.
It's about allocating funds.
Robin Sanbruno, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Man, like I said, the downfall is near, and it's very clear. Look, man, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, we trying to win the Super Bowl at all costs. You got the Super Bowl coming here next year. It's sounding clear. Why are you giving up on players? Pay them for 2 or 3 years and get rid of them. But you got to bite the bullet. You got to bite it. You can't be out here bullcrapping because you were trying to save a little money. And you saved up money to pay Purdy. But we got to know if Purdy really that dude yet. You know what I'm saying? You can't invest in the guy that you don't really know.
Rob, let me ask you this. Who, when you look at the situation, did Ayuk misplay his hand? Did the Niners misplay their hand? I mean, how do you see this? How do you see this? How do you see this whole situation here? Or should they have just traded him on draft day and avoided this entire situation in training camp?
This is what I said last, same thing about Trey last year. You knew from the get-go you wasn't going to start playing this guy. You was getting quarterbacks just to make sure he didn't play. So why you wait till the third, last week of preseason to trade him? Same thing here. They knew damn well they wasn't going to pay IU. They just didn't come with this in their head. They knew they wasn't going to be able to afford him. Hence why they drafted the rookie. Because think about it. The Niners don't go 3-4 wide. So why would you draft another guy if you're going to keep running IU? If they all can't get on the field, they're going to run the ball. So when they drafted Ricky Pearsall, I seen it coming. Oh, they finna insert him. There's no way you can keep all four of the receivers in play and then run the ball as well. Then give it to Kittle. So my thing is, if you're trying to win, you got to pay whatever you got to pay. I'm not in account pockets. I don't really care about their pockets because they got it. They didn't get rich off football. They didn't have money. So I don't really care about the salary cap. You pay who you want to pay. The rest of the guys on the team, Lenore, he good, but he's a replaceable player. I like Banks. The rest of them dudes is replaceable. There ain't nobody on this team that's irreplaceable except for a couple of guys. So at the end of the day, if the Niners really want to win and win a Super Bowl, in which we're close, and like I said, got the Super Bowl next year in Santa Clara, why you give up a player that you need? You need IU. You don't have a player like IU on the roster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, good call, Rob. Good call. We got to run here. Vince of Columbus, we'll get you on the other side. 888-957-9570. I guess the question now is, Shasky, is Ayuk replaceable? I'm going to look forward. What does this offense look like without Brandon Ayuk? Is he replaceable in this offense? Will this offense skip a beat without Brandon Ayuk should the Niners trade him to Cleveland, New England, Pittsburgh, Washington? 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.